We Talk Podcasts is now proudly presented by Geek Nation Tours. The zombie apocalypse is imminent. Could you survive? You'll have a better chance after completing Geek Nation Tours Zombie Apocalypse Training 101. Learn to fire weapons, scrounge for food, and actually run from zombies. The time of the geek is at hand. Geek Nation Tours provides fun and unique vacation packages featuring themes such as the Civil War, Harry Potter, board games and beer, sports geeks, in locations such as Germany, Japan, England, and all over America. Visit geeknationtours.com and get your geek on.
Here we go. It is week 13 of We Talk Fantasy Football for 2015. We are Mo and
Brett. You know, it sounded like you said week 13 of 2013, which...
I might have.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you. It happened almost 10 seconds ago, so I can't really remember it.
It's true.
So we're coming off of another week where we went 6-0. That's 11-1 in the last 2 weeks. That puts us at 48-24 in the season for a 666 win percentage. So what we've noticed, what we can say is that our strategy that we've been using of heavily playing the waiver wire, screaming players, not being loyal to any player at any position, has we thought we didn't know if it would be able to last for a full season. And we had a little bit of a downslide in the middle of the season, kind of during the buys. It was a little tough to do. Now that we're out of those, it's actually more successful than ever. So I think we're definitely onto something here.
I think you're right. And, you know, in fairness, there's been so many injuries. It's been very hard to keep track of some of the things. But, you know, at the same time, the injuries have almost helped us because it frees up a lot more players for us to use.
Yeah, actually, in some ways, it actually frees up. That's the nice thing about it. It frees up more players for you to stream. I mean, when we lose Jimmy Graham in two of our leagues, we're not sitting there going, damn, how do we replace Jimmy Graham? We're like, okay, Jimmy Graham's gone. That's fine. We'll just find somebody who's actually probably going to perform better than him off the waiver wire for this week, and then next week we'll find somebody to perform better than that guy. And that attitude has been, like I say, that's been very, very, very freeing. And it's also come with... In some ways, I'm ignoring the experts because of this, and I think that's another key to the success.
It's huge.
I mean, we're really ignoring them because what they're talking about, what they're suggesting, isn't relevant to what we're trying to do in the least. So I think that's another reason why we've had a lot of success. It's will it lead us to championships? I don't know, but I know that we're on pace to play in a few championships, and that's better than a lot of people.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that we've always wound up doing before was at some points when we couldn't make a decision and we were struggling with that, we sat down and we said, okay, well, let's look at the experts, let's look at their aggregate picks, and let's see who they suggest we play. And then we do that, and then I don't think it actually helps us.
Historically, what we've always done is you'll look at it's ESPN is where we've gone to. ESPN will have like the five experts, and then they'll have all make their picks, and then it adds like an aggregate of who is the top-ranked guy. And then if you and I are not sure about somebody, then the guy who's the number one guy on their list is usually the guy we'll roll with. I don't think we visited that list once this season.
Not at all. And in fact, I'm doing it specifically to avoid that list. I don't want to see that list, period.
No, it's not relevant even to again, it's not, again, you look at a guy like a Graham, Gronkowski, any of these guys, I don't care who it is anymore. You look at it and you're not, like I say, don't think about replacing the player. Think about replace the production of the player that particular week and then move on to your next week. And as long as we continue to do that, we'll continue to succeed. If you haven't been doing that, then that's what you need to start doing for next season. You were talking earlier about how the strategy, especially this part of the season, because consistency is so important. We always talk about how if we can finish in the top four in scoring, if we don't make the playoffs, that's fine, but we did everything we could do, and the odds are you're going to make it. You talk about avoiding the low floor.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, and I'm sure I'm going to butcher his name, but like Sean Drawn, the current lead running back of the San Francisco 49ers. You know, everybody, when you look at, like, say, Fantasy Bowl, one of the leagues that we're in, he is ranked as, like, the number 74th running back. And
when he's only played a few games.
Sure, absolutely. But, you know, when you see that, if I were to care about those kind of numbers, I would think to myself, oh, well, I'm going to play Frank Gore because he's the 17th ranked. But then when you look at it and you see what Frank Gore has done of late and what Sean has done of late, then what it comes down to is that Frank Gore currently is, well, he's not even a high-ceiling player. He's a mid-ceiling player with a low floor.
Yeah, he's probably going to get you 10 points, no more. But now I'm not even sure he's guaranteed for the 10 points.
Exactly. So, whereas, you know, the thing about Drawn is that currently, you know, he has averaged 13, 15, and 13 points. Well, not average, but he has scored 13, 15, and 13 points in that league over these last 3 weeks. That's a really strong average for a player that low ranked. So what I'm saying is that that's basically his floor. So he has a fairly high floor, but a seemingly a fairly low ceiling.
Yeah, his floor, if his floor is 13 points and somebody else's floor is 8 points, even if that person has a higher ceiling, I'll go with the person with the higher floor. Because at this point, if you can just be consistent across the board and pick people who aren't going to, you know, drop off and have horrible games, you just consistently have a bunch of people put up good points, odds are one of them's going to go off anyways. And all it takes is one if you're consistent across the board. And there's enough data out there now that you should be able to build your team like that. And the other thing is that we have a lot of, like, we're only playing PPR, and we got to stress this. We can't stress this enough. We really only think you should be playing PPR. We think that if you're playing PPR, your odds of being able to look at that information, analyze it, and produce a winning strategy is easier. And that is, again, that is strategy. If you want to just try a bunch of different things for fun, that's fine. For a while, we did that. But if you want to be a winner, go with PPR, stick with the one thing, and learn how to do it well.
Well, and I think the reason that I like PPR is the fact that when I do go to the waiver wire, I'm not forced to pick a guy who may only, say, a running back, you know, a running back 4 or 5. You know, you could get stuck with a running back 4 or 5.
Almost everybody has some use in a PPR because of the receptions.
But, you know, like when you're playing just standard scoring, I mean, if, you know, a guy like Sean Drott has, like, no value whatsoever for the most part, because, sure, he may rush for 50 yards, and maybe he'll catch 7 passes for 25 yards. So he's, which in a PPR is great. He's giving you great totals. But when you look at it from standard scoring, he's going to give you, like, 7.5 points.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to look ahead a little bit into the strength of schedule. We're going to assume that you are like us, you're on pace for the playoffs, and hopefully for a championship run. And we're going to look at what players out there might be available for you that will be useful in your playoff run. Not necessarily so much this week, but down the road. They're a little bit off the radar that hopefully you can use in the championship run, or specifically even in the championship week, that you might want to target a little early because of that. So, Brett, who is it you're seeing out there in the quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, week 16, the first guy that I see is Matt Schaub in Baltimore. I mean, he actually didn't play that badly against Cleveland, whereas I kind of expected a lot worse. And going up against Pittsburgh, that could be a shootout, but it probably won't be a necessary game for them to win because they're pretty much already out of it. So I think that's the biggest struggle there.
No, they're not. The Texans? Or no. No, sorry, Baltimore. Right. What am I thinking? Oh, match
yes.
off.
Yes.
Sorry, I heard it differently. I heard Hoyer.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I don't know why. Okay, go ahead. Well, you know, I used to play there. All right.
Yes. So he's not the perfect one. You know, like, the one that really stands out to me is these next 3 weeks for Denver and Brock Osweiler. I mean, the assumption is that he'll at least play through week 15, and some people say that he'll finish the season. Some people say that he won't. But the truth is,
I say he won't.
That's fair. But the truth is that, you know, San Diego's a plus matchup, Oakland's a plus matchup, and Pittsburgh is a huge plus matchup in week 15. I mean, he has a terrible matchup. Like, whoever plays there has a terrible matchup in week 16, fantasy championship week. But, you know, those 3 weeks leading up, he is not a bad pick.
Hey, you got to get there first, is the thing.
Yeah.
You got to get there. Another guy that we look at, we think can get you there, is Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck has a solid matchup base here. And again, we don't know that he's going to finish off the year. I mean, Luck looks like he'll be back at some point. But Hasselback's another guy that's probably out there. And you know what? He has one really, really bad matchup in Week 15. But the other four out of his five matchups, if you're going right to Week 17, are all strong or very strong. And I think he's going to be a guy that can lead you to that championship victory. Streaming him off the bench or just even running with him every week except for Week 15.
Alex Smith has some great plays. Oakland this week, San Diego the next week. And, you know, not so good versus Baltimore, but we've seen that be a pretty
good not horrible either.
And then Cleveland in the Fantasy Championship week, which, you know, is fabulous. And then finishing off at Oakland if you're playing in Week 17. If he's available, he's totally a guy to target.
Yeah, if he's available, he is totally a guy to target. And if it's not likely he's available, but if Winston's available and it's possible, he's a guy to avoid.
If he's available, leave him there.
Yeah, that's if he's available. Mariota might get you by the next 2 weeks, but the truth is his during the championship and the playoffs, his matchups are terrible, so Mariota is a guy to not. You know, you might run with him for a week or two here against Jacksonville and the Jets, but you better have a long-term plan. So he's another guy you definitely want to avoid. Hoyer's another guy I think you want to largely avoid. You know, again, if you can survive long enough, maybe he has a use later in the season. But over the next 3 weeks, I don't think you're going to get as much out of him as you're going to want. So there's a lot of guys like that. But there's another guy out there that Castle, I think, is going to be a nice spot starter as well for most of the next few weeks.
But and the last thing I will say about quarterbacks is that, you know, you may want to think about stashing him because the Week 16 matchup, Kirk Cousins. Going up against Philadelphia, that is a beautiful Week 16
matchup.
At this
point, I think if you don't get throw five for five TDs against Philadelphia, you shouldn't be in the NFL because that team is horrible. He's terrible up to there, but if you have a deep enough bench that you can stack this guy and get there, that's your man in Week 16 that we're eyeing for sure.
And I would completely say, like, at the end of Week 14, yeah. If you 16, haven't already done it, pick him up before, because you know that at the end of Week 15, when it comes time to the waiver period for Week 16, everybody's going to look at this and they're going to be
and
all.
Bortles is going to have the Saints in that week, but he's less likely to be in the waiver wire than Cousins. If he is, of course, again, grab him for just that week. But Cousins is the guy most likely there. So let's move on to the running backs. Now, this is a lot harder. There's only a couple out there that you can think are going to be available to begin with because people just have to snatch them up because of the lack of depth. But we're looking at Detroit as a team that usually has one or two of their backs out there right now.
Well, the interesting thing is that we were just able to pick up Ameer Abdullah in one of our leagues, which I actually consider pretty amazing. But when you look at their strong, strong matchups, I mean, you know, Green Bay is not a good matchup tonight, but St. Louis is a plus. New Orleans is a huge plus. And San Francisco is a nice big plus as well. And then if you're playing in Week 17, Chicago is a plus. So, I mean, if they're true to getting Ameer Abdullah the ball more, then he could have some real fine matchups.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you just have to don't worry about tonight. And, you know, about this game tonight, and then you move on, and you're going to have a strong, or probably likely RB3 play for him. And I also like I say, because we're playing PPRs, I like Theo Riddick, too. In fact, you know, I think he might even outscore Abdullah down the stretch. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
I actually want to make one comment, though. If you're looking at you need some space, and maybe you have one of those New England running backs, other than you know, the next game up against Philadelphia here, you know, they've got negative matchups over the 2 weeks afterwards, and then the New York Jets, who typically play the Patriots pretty hard. So if you're looking and saying, like, I need to free up space, I would consider maybe dropping a James White or a Brandon Bolden if you have them sitting on your bench.
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. I do. I think that, yeah. Another guy, there's a couple of guys that you might be thinking to yourself are going to carry you to the championship, and you're so excited to have. For instance, you're probably really excited to have Rawls, and the truth is, you might get killed by him. So you might want to look at another matchup, because the next 3 weeks he's going to be horrible. horrible matchup wise. You got the Kansas City running backs, and their matchups aren't nearly as good as they have been over the last few weeks. So their performance is probably going to drop to begin with. Plus, we're now looking at possibly a timeshare. So you got guys like that who are worrisome.
Buck Allen is not going to help you in the fantasy championships at all either.
No, he might get you there because based on not this week, but he has two great matchups.
Well, this week is fabulous.
Yeah. This week is fabulous. Sorry. Yeah.
The next 3 weeks are actually
pretty bad. After this week,
I would actually consider dropping him almost outright after this week.
Yeah, no, I would seriously consider dropping him because he's just going to eat up a roster space that you're probably not going to be able to use anywhere because he just doesn't have kind of the, like you say, he doesn't have the matchups and there's something to do this. We've seen this now. We've now seen the patterns through the season that tell me that there's something to this and I believe in them. There's one other one here. Last guy's in Washington?
Well, Washington has great, like, I mean, and there's still, like, Alf Morris is probably available on the wire. Matt Jones might be. Chris Thompson. You know, any of those could be available. And they have, after, like, once you get by this week, they have three really, really strong matchups.
Well, here's the guy I think that if you're playing PPRs, you want to pick up for the championship run to be an RB3 for you, and he might even do even better. And that is Sims in Tampa Bay. His matchups this week and next week are remarkable. His matchups the next following 2 weeks are extremely strong. He has four straight matchups that are all terrific. You're not going to get Doug Martin, but Sims is probably out there, and Sims puts up a surprising amount of points as the number two back on that team, especially in PPRs. That's a guy you definitely want to target.
All right, let's move on and look at some wide receivers.
Okay, again, wide receivers. This is an interesting one. Baltimore, we talk about the running backs not looking good for them, but luckily they're going to be facing a lot of weak pass defenses here.
Yeah, the wide receivers. I mean, the problem is guessing the wide receivers. Like, Kamar Aiken has probably been picked up in most of your leagues, but if he hasn't, because Kamar Aiken is in the top five most targeted players right now over the last couple
of
weeks.
And it's actually possible that he's not. You know, that's the funny thing. He's probably picked up, but it's possible he isn't.
Cincinnati, Chicago actually has plus matchups.
Chicago has nice matchups, if you can figure that out.
Yeah, they're not great, but like a guy like Marquise Wilson could wind up becoming a bit of a factor. Cincinnati has, the next 2 weeks are absolutely brilliant, and then they have week 15, which is good. Week 16, though, you want to avoid them all, but that could mean like a Marvin Jones.
Jones and Sanu might be deep sleepers these next 2 weeks, might get you there. Again, it's all a matter of getting there. Then you figure it out. Because, yeah, okay, you can't play those two in that week, but you know what? You might be able to play Wilson from Kansas City because his matchup in that week is terrific. You know, Wallace is another guy who's going to have a terrific matchup in that week. So you never know. You never know who you're going to be able to find. Crowder, Cleveland. Even Garcon. Well, these guys have fantastic, this fantastic matchups of Philadelphia in the championship week. So, yeah, I mean, they're guys who aren't going to, some guys are going to get you there. Some guys are just going to help you in that championship. It's all a matter of building your roster to peak towards that.
But if you look, a team like Cleveland, I mean, their matchup against Cincinnati isn't great this week, but they have some solid matchups throughout. And when you look at a guy like Hartline, who is actually kind of coming on, if Austin Davis continues throwing to him like he did the last game, then Hartline should actually be a really good value pick.
Yeah. And a couple of guys. Obviously, we know Cobb is a terrific receiver, but I think if you're playing him, you better be looking at him as your wide receiver 3 over the next couple of weeks. Maybe 2 if you're lucky. But, I mean, Adams might be on your waiver wire. Jones was picked up earlier. You think you got value for him. It's dropped off somewhat. I'm telling you, Green Bay are guys you want to avoid going into the championship run as for sure. Tampa Bay, I think, is the highest avoid other than next week against New Orleans.
Oh, Tampa Bay is bad. They've got some terrible plays.
And also, if you have Crabtree and especially Amari Cooper, and you've been so pleased with what they've given you this year, they're going to probably hit the wall here. They're probably going to fall off a cliff based on those matchups. And who cares? You use them to get there. doesn't mean you have to use them to lose in the playoffs.
No, absolutely. And you know, I'll also mention San Diego. I mean, once they get past Denver, which is a terrible matchup this week, you know, they've got a few okay matchups as far as, like, being in the plus side. So a guy like Dontrell Inman could be a guy to look at for you.
Yeah, or even Stevie Johnson, who's often out there right now.
Yeah.
So we're moving on to the tight ends. We haven't actually even previewed the tight ends for this. We previewed the other positions. So we're going to be looking at this with fresh eyes ourselves here. And right away, the guy who stands up near the top of that list is Tammy, who's very possibly on your waiver wire. Nothing terrible and a couple great matchups, especially if you're playing a championship in week 17. If you played the championship in week 17, you want this guy. Some leagues are 16, some leagues are 17. We prefer 16, but
most leagues are
most
16.
Most leagues are, but there's occasional ones that are 17. But he's got a couple of great matchups. I think you can probably roll with him. Who else is it that out there is kind of grabbing your eye, Brett?
Well, it's interesting. You look at a team like Carolina, and they have, like, brilliant matchups, but it's too bad because Greg Olsen's not available. But if you have him, you should probably be playing him if like you aren't already. Detroit actually stands out, and it's a shame that Ebron has really dropped of late because, you know, Green Bay is a huge plus. St. Louis is an enormous plus. And New Orleans is a massive plus in 15.
I think this is a guy who all of a sudden, without anybody realizing it, is out there, and he has dropped off, and I bet you plug him in for three straight games and get enough production out of that position that, and then, you know, drop him in the finals.
Yeah,
and find somebody else because there will be somebody else out there.
Well, if Julius Thomas is available, the finals look great. But Julius Thomas has
Julius Thomas should be the number one guy if you're looking at a playoff run and a guy who's probably going to be consistent over the next month. Based on matchups, I think he's the best guy.
Also, I'll say that Jordan Cameron in Miami. I mean, Baltimore's okay, but he's got two enormous matchups coming up, and he'd be fine in the fantasy championships.
Yeah, he's also got really nice matchups. Again, I think a little less likely than Thomas to be out there, but he could be out there because he has been a disappointment. Kyle Rudolph again, another guy probably not there, but if he is, he's good. But Thomas and I mean, it's funny, these are guys who are kind of busts for the season, but Thomas and Cameron right now, for fantasy wise, could provide you the spark you need to win that championship. Also, I think Daniels. We'll see what happens with Daniels and Davis in Denver. They have decent enough stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'll mention Oakland. I mean, I'm not sure if it's Clyde Walford or if it's Michael Rivera, but especially in the championship week, they're great. But you know, in week 14 and 15, they've got strong. So I mean, if you're absolutely desperate for a play, then going to Oakland might not be a bad thing.
Yeah, and you know, as you look at Seattle, I think you want to avoid anybody there. You know, even though St. Louis is a nice matchup in championship week, maybe at that point you'll know what will have happened with their tight end situation, but not likely. Cook is somebody who you can stream for the next few weeks. Tampa Bay, if Sebastian Jenkins is probably never coming back. Because if they were, he'd be another guy who could power you to a championship. The guy that you want to maybe this week, as crazy as it seems, because he's a top, I think, six fantasy tight end. Excuse me, top six fantasy tight end. The guy who's got to scare you, and we're warning you right now, he's probably going to have a great week. And then he's droppable. Probably not. You probably can't trade him. Like, it's crazy. But Delanie Walker.
Yeah,
is going
sure.
He's going to cost you.
I mean, he may not, like, he might be the one of the few guys who can actually fight through that just because of the
volume of targets.
But
it's really bad. It's really bad.
Yes, it's not. If you have somebody else, you may want to consider somebody else.
But not Jason Witten. Do not touch Jason Witten.
No.
And Barnage is another guy who you'll play despite horrible matchups.
Yeah, for sure. These guys have generally proven. You know, with Delanie Walker, I'd probably give him a chance against the Jets to see where it stood. You know, but then you'd have to consider for New England and Houston where you want.
So we're going to skip the kicker because he's a kicker, are we?
Or do you want to kick? No, why
yeah, it's a kicker.
Yeah,
every week you can stream a kicker, or if you have somebody you're happy with, just go.
But play
just,
Jason Myers. There you go.
Yeah, right now.
He's underwater,
he's hot right now. And he's got a good, fine enough matchup this week. The defenses, though, you do want to look at some of these guys. This is actually one of those interesting positions. It's like Cincinnati, for instance, is a defense where I think, you know, we might get some value out of them going forward. You know, the matchups are kind of up and down, but we might get some value out of them going forward. Who else out there do you think is available that people might be able to look at for having a good long stretch run? I think Jacksonville looks like they're maybe a nice looking team there.
Yeah, there's a lot of positives there, no doubt about it. It's interesting because there is a lot of up and down. I mean, Minnesota's a team with a couple good games in the middle of that run, so it'll be interesting to see.
I don't know if they're available.
But they're probably not available. But you know what? I've seen almost every one of these teams available at some point other than Denver.
That's true.
You know, New Orleans, even though they have a couple of plus matchups, I would avoid them like the plague because they're just not a good defense anyways.
And the team that really is really that deep sleeper again is Washington. Washington's going to be great this week. They'll probably be decent next week. Then they have a bad matchup with Buffalo. But against Philadelphia in the championship game is maybe the matchup of the week. And you also have Dallas, if you do have a Week 17 matchup again, who will be brilliant. So Washington is your sleeper long-term pick, I think, because they're also looks like going to be fighting for the chance to compete for the championship right up until the end. The other team for the championship weeks to look at, besides, we had already mentioned Jacksonville, but that's Indianapolis, who's just going to have that great, great matchup that week. And if you want to stash somebody, there's somebody else you can stash.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have seen Buffalo available in a few, and they have a brilliant championship week going up against Dallas.
Exactly. Okay, we're going to make the week's picks here. We're going to have to do this kind of quickly. So we got the Packers tonight against the Lions. You like the Lions. I like the Packers. But both of us consider this a coin flip game.
Yeah, it's definitely a 51-49%. You know, for the I'm going with the Lions because they're hot. That's it.
Okay, we're gonna go with the Lions. Then we're gonna listen to you this time. When I think you're wrong, I usually just pick the other guys. But 49ers versus the Bears.
Oh, you got to go with the Bears in that case. The 49ers have played a lot better than I expect, but you know the Bears are proving to be a pretty good team right now.
The Falcons 6-5, falling off a cliff against the Buccaneers, on again, off again at 5-6. But I think both teams pull even records here.
Yeah, I think that I do think that the Buccaneers should be able to beat the Falcons. The Falcons are just confused.
Yeah, here's finally a really super easy one. Cardinals 9-2 versus the Rams at 4-7.
Oh, yeah, that's the got to be the Cardinals.
Yeah, here's the one that's a little bit tougher. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars at 4-7, still actually in the fight against the surprisingly bad 2-9 Titans.
Yeah, the Titans, I consider them to be one of the better 2-9 teams that I've actually seen. But the Jacksonville Jaguars are one of the, you know, they seem like they should be better than they actually are. I'm going to go with Jacksonville just because the Titans can't seem to put it together.
And Jacksonville has a lot more to play for. The Seahawks are 6-5. They're on the road to the Vikings. This is a real interesting one. Both teams actually really need this win. I think the Vikings will take it.
I think the Vikings are going to take it too. And you know what? I will almost guarantee it if the Lions win tonight that the Vikings are going to be ready.
That's true. That's probably true. Cincinnati is 9-2. They're on the road against the 2-9 Browns. The Browns don't feel like the surprising 2-9 team.
Nope. That's not a surprise. They're a terrible, terrible tackling team. You know, I mean, obviously, it's a Cincinnati game.
If you had told me a month ago that the Houston Texans would have a better record at 6-5 than the Bills at 5-6, I would have thought you were crazy. But that's the case. Who's winning this one? And the Bills at home?
You know, I got to say Houston. Houston is coming on at the right time. I know that Hoyer's not a great quarterback, but I know that J.J. Watt is a great defensive player.
I know Hoyer's better than anybody they have in Cleveland.
That's absolutely right. And yet he left Cleveland.
I know. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, they didn't want him.
Yeah, funny how it works. Who was it he was playing with before that? He did surprisingly well, and then they didn't want him either.
Was it... Oh.
Why is that escaping me?
Yeah, it's true. It's escaping me as well.
All right, well, you look it up while I give people the next game, because this is another one. The Battle of New York. The Jets are 5-6. The Giants are 6-5. The Giants are 5-6. It'll be dueling crowds there. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a great game to watch. What's going to be really interesting, it's not really a home or away game for either team in some ways, even though it will be Giants season ticket holders. I mean, it'll be a unique situation. I would have to go with the Jets, but the Giants tend to not lose two in a row. They win one, lose one, win one. Like,
I tend to feel like this is going to be the Jets game. I'm definitely not sold on the Giants. I think that they're a team that's on the way down.
Okay. Well, it doesn't look like he was anywhere for a while. My mistake.
No, he just kind of bounced around a little bit. I do, you know, like, obviously you remember him in New England a little bit, but it's not like he really played a lot, so.
No, that's right. Okay, we got the Baltimore 4-7 against the Dolphins of 4-7. Same records, basically, largely off the Dolphins slide and off the Ravens winning two in a row. Are the Ravens on the road good for this one?
You know, Shaw played pretty well, like much better than I anticipated. But I feel it's tough because, you know, Miami has their new offensive coordinator. The brain says Baltimore, but the gut says Miami. I'll go with the brain, or depending on what you think.
I'm also going to go with the brain, try and take over the world. Okay, so the Chiefs and the Raiders, and in a divisional game, the Chiefs are 6-5, the Raiders are 5-6. The Raiders cannot lose this game, but the Chiefs can put the in the fight for the wild card spot and can really put the boots to the Raiders here. I think at the end of the day, the Chiefs just got the better team right now.
They absolutely do. Narf.
Narf.
Wait.
Denver's 9-2. The Chargers are 3-8. I think the Chargers will keep this really close. Might even score some on them, but picking against the Broncos would be a mistake.
It absolutely would, especially with the Chargers. The Chargers are not a very good football team, and I think the Denver defense is a good football team.
And Panthers and Saints, 11-0, 4-7, so we'll go Panthers.
Yeah, the Saints are not a good football team. The Panthers are the best football team.
Yeah, they are, and they're with the best quarterback. 4-7 Eagles, 10-1 Patriots. I think this is going to be one pissed-off Patriots team.
Yes. Yes, I think that the Eagles are in for one of the worst games of their lives.
Hasselbeck's had some great success, great winning percentage as a starting quarterback. He's there. The Indianapolis is 6-5, and it's all thanks to him. But Pittsburgh is also 6-5. They just lost a tough game on the road to the Seahawks. I think the Steelers win this one. I think this is where the storybook ending starts to happen for the Colts. Starts to go wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Pittsburgh obviously needs Roethlisberger to play, and I think he will. But yeah, like as long as he plays, there's no doubt that they can win that game.
And the history of the draw is the history of the rivalry is the draw for the Monday night game. You have Dallas 3-8 versus the Redskins at 5-6. I mean, the Redskins got to be it there. Can they win this damn division?
Yeah, I actually think they can. I think that Dallas is obviously out. Although that will be proven after they lose this week. But, you know, I think I love the story of Jerry Jones keeping Tony Romo off of injured reserve right now, just in case.
And the hope that they can make a run. Yeah.
But you know, I think that, you know, when you look at it, Dallas is almost certainly out. The Giants, I think, are trending in the wrong direction. Philadelphia is obviously trending in the wrong direction.
The Giants are up and down, so it's tough to say, but Philadelphia, no question, they're trending in the wrong
direction. That only leaves Washington, who is actually trending in the right direction. They may not be the best out of the teams that win their division, but they're certainly...
May not have the best talent, necessarily, but what they have is the best chemistry. And that means something. And they made the right move with who they went with the
quarterback
this season. So, I mean, I'm looking this at the best players now at quarterback. It's a kind of a strange thing because you got no Gronk, you got no you got Amendola's beat up, you got no Edelman, and yet. I like Brady as the best quarterback of the week.
Who are the top quarterbacks?
I don't know. I can't sign into that.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I think that that Brady, well, Brady going up against Philadelphia, how do you like not like that? And I think Amendola is going to be a really great pick this week. And at tight end, for sure, I think that Greg Olsen has to be the pick of the week.
I think Greg Olsen, for sure. Yeah, Greg Olsen looks great
this week. But Cam Newton has an unbelievable matchup going up against New Orleans.
Yeah, he has an incredible matchup, and he's Cam Newton. He's always up for the games. Like, he's always up for the games. That said, that I do think that, like I said, I mean, Tom Brady's Tom Brady.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And so I like Tom Brady to put up the top points this week. But.
And if you're looking at one of the daily fantasy football and you got that budget, then I think that Fitzmagic might be a guy who could give you a little bit of value there.
Okay, and we finally have it loading up here, the best players, though. It's acting a little bit hinky. But we'll just look at it, and Cam Newton is your number one pick out there. So that is that to me is not really a surprise. And running back, who was it you liked?
Running back, I hadn't actually told you. Who are the tops?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because it's, as I told you, it's hinky.
All right, well, Buck Allen has a great matchup. You know, Jonathan Stewart, again, has a brilliant matchup. In Chicago, I don't know if it's a timeshare, like Forte or Langford. Forte obviously looks strong. Tampa Bay, though, Doug Martin.
I think Doug Martin is the guy, yeah. I think Doug Martin is the guy you definitely want to target this week as if you're picking your top performer of the week.
If they can keep it close, then McFadden should be a good play in Dallas.
Yeah, I think he should be a good play too, especially, but I think he's a better play in a PPR. I don't know how good he'll be in a more traditional format, we'll call it.
I'd be more than tempted to go with Jonathan Stewart and Doug Martin myself.
Yeah, I would. Jonathan Stewart, too. I mean, who expected him to stay healthy this long? Terrific.
And really, it helps that he doesn't have D'Angelo Williams sitting on his back the whole time.
Yeah, it has helped. It really has helped, yeah. I can finally now tell you that Adrian Peterson is actually the top pick for the week. Doug Martin is number two. D'Angelo Williams is number three. But we're going to go, yes, with the D'Angelo, or sorry, not D'Angelo. Sorry, Doug Martin, and I added in Brady because I just feel it. So I want Brady. He is the number two choice, but I want Brady. We're going to go in with our Jonathan Stewart pick and move on to the wide receivers. The top wide receivers, I can finally tell you, it's finally working properly here. Antonio Brown's the number one, then Beckham, then A.J. Green, Julio Jones, and Brandon Marshall. And following that is DeAndre Hopkins. Who do you like?
I love A.J. Green. That's a brilliant matchup. No questions about it.
I agree with that.
Huge fan of T.Y. Hilton going up against Pittsburgh as well.
I just think he hasn't shown the chemistry with Hasselbeck.
He did really good last game. He had two touchdowns and goodly amount of yards. So yeah, I can't argue with it.
Moncrief still looked to me like the number one target for the week.
Odell Beckham has a great matchup, so he's a strong play. Of course, Brandon Marshall is a strong play as well.
Okay, we're gonna go Green and Marshall. I just like the stability of those two players. It's almost like you're not picking the top players. It's almost more like I'm picking a fantasy, take safe guys. But we'll go with those two. Whereas really what we're looking at here is the top guys. We already said Olsen or tight end. I think Olsen is the guy. Eifert, though.
Delanie Walker is also a beast. Eifert is interesting because he's not practicing right now.
No, so but miss the game. Yeah, Eifert is not practicing, but. Eifert has luckily got Eifert has luckily got the chance to catch the touchdowns. He's always going to be the guy in the end zone that they look at, though Green might pilfer one. And what's the defense you're looking at? Because I'm just putting in Gano as the kicker.
That is fair.
Are we looking at Carolina, Cincinnati, Broncos?
Carolina is brilliant.
Arizona.
New England, though. I may choose New England because that matchup against Philadelphia is a killer. Also, Washington. Washington is great.
Yeah, very comfortable with New England. So that's our team. So I think that's about it. Is there any last things that you want to say before we go OUT and tell people that catch us at We Talk Podcast on Twitter, Facebook /WeTalkPodcast. Of course, we're WeTalkPodcast.com. You can subscribe to the website in the top right-hand corner by leaving your email, and then you'll get links to updates, including the shows. Anything else you want to tell people?
I think the last thing we'll say is we'll see you and we'll meet you.